structure of this parable. There are no verbal threads to pay attention to hang this on. So the primary structure of memory in relation to this parable is the episodes. So the first one is about the vineyard and the construction of the vineyard, and the harvest time had come. The second is the sending of the slaves. And then the third episode is the son. The fourth episode is the response of the owners. The fifth episode is about the stone. And the concluding episode is then the response of the chief priests and the Pharisees. If you think of the structure of the parable, vineyard, slaves, son, owner, stone, response, it'll be easier to remember. That's my only suggestion about what makes this parable easier to internalize. This story comes after Jesus' parable of the two sons and the chief priests and the Pharisees trying to catch Jesus and when they ask him a question about his authority. So it follows a public attack on his credibility. And so Jesus is responding to their critique. And this parable is another part of that in Matthew's story. This parable has the same dynamic structure as Nathan's parable to David. You remember Nathan, after the death of Uriah and David's affair with Bathsheba, that Nathan went to him and told him the parable of a man who had a lamb, and the owner came and killed his lamb that he had brought up as a child in his family. And David responded with rage and said that man should be killed. Well, this has the same structure as that. It is a parable that is designed to get the chief priests and the rulers and the Pharisees to reflect on their response to him. And by identifying with the landowner who had planted this and to whom all these things had happened as a result of these tenants. So this has the same structure then as the parable of Nathan, in which after David says that man should be killed, Nathan says, "You're the man." So Jesus says that to the chief priests and the scribes in his statement, "Have you never read the scriptures?" And the implication of this is both that Jesus recognizes what is going to happen to him, namely, that he is being rejected and that he will be killed, and that they will be involved in doing that. And so this is an effort in this parable to get them to reflect about that. But just as Nathan says, the child will die, so also here, the consequences of what is going to happen are named by Jesus, that the kingdom of God will be taken away from them. Now, the question that lies behind this is, what did this mean? In the context of what has happened in the aftermath between Jesus' teaching and Matthew's telling of this story, what happened was the Jewish war, the destruction of the temple, the loss of the nation, and in fact, what happened was that the source of the power and authority of the chief priests was taken away from them because of their rejection of Jesus' way and the nation's choice to follow the way of the zealots. So they wanted to arrest him, but they were afraid. This same dynamic can also be heard in this parable in relation to the contemporary situation of the church in the United States, in which we assume that we are righteous and good, but that the consequences of our decisions to follow a way of war are inevitable. They are now happening. And so this parable has a similar kind of impact in relation to our situation as it did in relation to the chief priests. The context in Matthew, then, is that this conversation happens in the context of the destruction of Jerusalem, the destruction of the temple, and it is an invitation to his predominantly Jewish audience to reflect on the consequences of what the nation has done and to decide whether or not to follow the stone that is being made the cornerstone of a new structure, of a new building, of a new temple.